All right, live from Lower BCC, this is Red Sea Radio, back again with another episode after a week off on WVOF 88.5 FM. I'm your host, Kyle Majors, along with Jack Sarasulo. After a week off, we're back. How's it feel to be back?
Excited to be back. Very excited.
It's good to be back. We missed a lot, so we got a lot to talk about today on the show.
We haven't talked about a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, we haven't covered 2 weeks of Fairfield sports, so.
3 games.
A lot to talk about.
For basketball.
Mainly Fairfield basketball. Opening up the show, though, Matt Turner, right? Got to talk about Matt Turner on the show.
Unfortunate.
A solemn end to his season last night as the New England Revolution fell to my NYCFC in penalties, 5-4, I believe. And I didn't get to watch the game. I was at the Luke Combs concert, but Jack said he watched the penalties.
I watched the penalties.
And Jack is a Revolution fan because of Matt.
I try to be.
But, you know, obviously I was very happy that my team moved on, but it's tough for Matt. And, you know, I personally don't think we'll see him in a Revs jersey again beyond this point. I think he's going to go to higher, better things, move on to greener pastures after this and go to Europe and play. So, nonetheless, still a phenomenal season for him in the league. He I don't think we got to mention on this show, but he won MLS Goalkeeper of the Year, which is a phenomenal award for him. And obviously had a great club season as well, or international year, calendar year as well. So great things for Matt. And I know he's got some qualifiers coming up, but then maybe we'll get him back on the show at some point over winter.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right. Now let's get into the majority of our show here, Fairfield basketball. 3 games that we haven't covered in the past 2 weeks. Starting off with the huge one, Fairfield Sacred Heart. Got to go a little bit back,
turn the clock back a little bit. 2 weeks ago?
Friday or Saturday it would be, right? 2 weeks ago on Saturday.
Yeah.
So about a week and a half ago, Fairfield Sacred Heart, big Battle of Fairfield. Obviously, if you guys were follow us on Twitter, you saw we were talking a lot of smack all week, even on Stags in the Stands and everything, getting into it, doing my part, even talking smack in person. Ran into a Sacred Heart student at the Fairfield bookstore, and not sure why they were in the Fairfield books. I guess they were getting their merch for the game.
Yeah.
They were siding with the winning team. But here we are, 71-61 win for Fairfield. Packed crowd.
Yeah, one of the biggest, one of the better environments they've played in.
Since we've been here, one of the bigger Fairfield basketball crowds. I know back when we played Iona freshman year, sold out, that was a big crowd. But yeah, that was one of the biggest, best environments that Fairfield basketball has seen since we've been here. 71-61. A bit of a back and forth game.
At least in the first half.
Yeah. I know the 10-point win is nice, but it was
closer
than that at points. Fairfield shot 40%. Sacred Heart shot 35%. You know, they had a lot of production from their guards, but obviously they struggled in the paint. That was kind of their bigger downfall of the game. We also shot 35% from three, 71% from the line. We out-rebounded them by almost double their rebounds. And we out-assisted them, 15 assists for us, which is something that we don't usually, get up there.
I mean, that's all thanks to, I mean, the guards were dispersing the ball. Like, Caleb, you could tell, was passing the ball a lot better this game compared to...
And another big stat was 6 turnovers. They had 6 as well, but for us, 6 is a very unheard of number. We're usually close to 20.
21 that we had against Providence, 20-something.
Yeah, so... And then, obviously, their largest lead was only 2. Ours was 12. But, yeah, like a back-and-forth game. But I never really felt like we were going to lose this game. Did you?
First half, I was a little nervous.
Oh, I was nervous. I was definitely nervous because of all the stuff we talked over the week and stuff like that.
But no, just a matter of, like, I don't know. They're not really used to playing these, like, huge road environments. And, like, every time they went on... Sacred Heart went on like a little run. It just got me like nervous. Like some huge run would happen. They like because if like say like if Sacred Heart were to ever get up by 8 in one of these games or 8 or 10, I feel like it would have been tough for Fairfield to even come back.
Get back into it.
So like every time they gained like a minor lead, Sacred Heart, I was like, I mean, thankfully they didn't, but their 2-point leads were like if you let this get out of hand, like you get the 5 or 8, it's like
it could be bad. Yeah, and luckily they played well enough that they didn't really even let. I feel like they didn't let Sacred Heart's crowd really have too much.
They never
effect.
Really had too many big runs except for at the very end when they had those like I think they had like a 3, a steal, and then like another 3 or something.
Yeah, and it was Clark and Thomas that played well. They had 21 and 17.
Clark was the one from
Pope John.
Yeah, from Pope John.
Yeah. So he was probably like their best player.
He played well.
But on our side of things, we had Jake dropped 14, which was nice.
It was a group effort, that's for sure.
Yeah, but that was nice from Jake because he's been struggling, and obviously even after that, he's still been struggling a little bit. But 14 from him, 15 from Taj, 11 from Cruz. I guess this is kind of like the games that might even mean a little bit more to guys like that that have been here longer.
Last
those
time
rivalry
playing
games.
Those teams, yeah.
Yeah, so for Cruz and Benning, good showings from them. I remember we tweeted this. I didn't want it to get lost in translation, but Makai Willis had some key rebounds.
The stat
in his
line
2 minutes.
Really show it, but
he had 2 key rebounds. That was the point of the game where I guess we were nervous, right?
When
we were kind of getting out rebounded.
I think it was Mido came in for Cook, and then Mido got like a third or fourth foul early in the second half, so they kind of didn't have either of them, so they had to go to Willis for a couple minutes. And I mean, his stats really don't show much. He didn't take any shots, but those 2 rebounds were big.
Yeah, because I know the final rebound, we out-rebounded them 41-27, but at that moment, they were out-rebounding us. And
especially with Mido in foul trouble, Cook out
of
the game.
Yeah, and it wasn't even always necessarily them, like, just out-efforting us. There was, like, they were getting lucky bounces here and there. And
like tipped,
it just
tipped balls
it
that
seemed
went
like the game was
their
on their, seemed like the game was on their side at that point. And Willis came in. Freshman hadn't played up much up until that point.
I mean, only
2 minutes.
Medgar Evers game. He played a little bit in the Providence game.
Yeah, 2 minutes, 2 important rebounds, and I know that doesn't really go far in the stat sheet, but that was very important.
It helped stem some of the momentum they had.
Yeah.
Make sure they didn't go any big runs.
But like you said, pretty much a group effort. Everyone that played scored except for Willis, but we mentioned the other.
It doesn't really count. I mean, he played 2 minutes.
Everyone else that played scored, and they looked good. They were obviously, I feel like it meant more to them than it did to our team, but I just think that they're not there yet.
I mean, they're the little brother, so I mean, it shouldn't mean more to them.
I mean, what is that, 8 now? 0-8 all time?
Yeah.
So, it's nice to put them back in their place after that video that they had after
the students facing our campus.
After the students came on our campus and, you know, took pictures on our stag. You know, that's nice of them. They could do that all they want. But at the end of the day, when the ball's tipped, the Stags are going to win 8 out of 8 times and shut Sacred Heart up and let them go back into their NEC and play their little high school schedule. So nice to wrap that up. Right, even their football team too.
Yeah.
They're going to what did they just win? I don't know. They play like high school football.
Yeah, I don't know. It was some weird. I think it's whatever they play in is like. Because I saw the final rankings. I think like it's like club basically. It's club football.
I always say this is like the worst kids that at my high school the worst kids on the football team would go to Sacred Heart.
Well,
like our worst players would go to Sacred Heart.
It's club football. Like they play like against Ohio. Like they're in like the same like division as like Ohio State, but it's Ohio State's club team.
Well, no, they have real football too.
Oh, they do.
I
saw their club team. I was looking. Their club team was ranked really high.
Oh, you know, their club team is actually nice, but their real team just won like
their league or whatever.
Like they're going to like their like.
Let's
Nationals,
see.
But like they play like a joke schedule, and it's like
they beat the first in the Northeast. They beat LIU, Holy Cross. Oh, they lost to Holy Cross. Oh, they just lost.
Good. But like
they play Central Connecticut State, Duquesne, Wagner.
Their biggest thing is like you don't have a football team.
They're sick
like,
of football.
Your football team is.
You're sick of beating Morgan State.
Yeah, your football team is like a glorified high school.
They lost by 40 to Dartmouth.
Yeah. So
that's sick.
So, that's like their one big comeback. I feel like, and that's just
I would
stupid.
I would call out like I'd be like our club team is sick. We get to play, like, we're in the same ranking as Ohio State.
You'd be flexing the club team if you went there?
Dude, I saw, because I don't know where I saw it on Twitter, but I saw the club ranking, like, the final club rankings, and it was, like, Ohio State versus someone random in the final.
Uh-huh.
But they showed, like, the final, like, polls, and it was, like, Ohio State, someone, then Sacred Heart.
Yeah, no, I knew they had a club team, but their real team won, like, whatever, and they went to the national. I guess they lost. But it's, like, they play a joke schedule. In the NEC, they play a joke schedule. And, you know, I don't think they're super far off from beating us in a basketball game in the future. But right now,
oh, the club team's
it's still
playing.
Still our town. So very, very nice to shut them up. And, yeah, that was a really good win. Got a lot of activity on our Twitter and on Stags in the Stands and stuff like that. So it was a good time. And it was nice, we already mentioned, but it was nice to see all the students show up to the game too, because obviously we don't have the most enthusiastic student fan base here. But
a game like that can get people kind of interested.
Yeah, you hope it does.
Yeah.
And since then, all the games that we played were over break, so you can't really judge that as, you know, students didn't show up. But hopefully going forward, going into MAC play, hopefully students will start to attend. So,
I no wonder they're good in the club. They play in the most whack division ever.
We can't hate on Sacred Heart for too long on this show. We got to move on.
Yeah, no. I was just curious.
To wrap it up, though, solid game from Fairfield. A 10-point win. I think they were only favored by, what, one and a half going into it?
It was close. It was close.
In a road environment like that, you know, like we said, they didn't really let the crowd get into it ever because the fact that we kind of controlled the game for the most part. It was a little back and forth, but
when you get rebounds, only get second chances, like, it's hard. Like, they're a good defensive team, Fairfield, when they can buckle down and when they have the size especially. It's like, helps a lot.
Yeah, but great to shut them up on their own court. All the videos, everything that went into it, you know, the boys took care of it on the court, and, you know, that's all you could ask, so that was a great, great, great win for us. We were very, very happy after that. And I wish we would have had an episode last week to kind of go, like, all in on that. But we're going to move on to the second game, which was Stony Brook Fairfield, overtime thriller. Second year in a row overtime between these two teams. The Jay Young revenge tour is complete after this win. 83-78, Fairfield wins. That was the first time, I think that was their first three-game winning streak since Jay Young was a coach, and I think that was, like, the first time they were, like,
it wouldn't surprise over 500.
Over 500, yeah, something like that.
Neither of those would surprise me, to be honest. But
yeah, well, since we usually open up poorly in out of conference,
0-6, 0-5.
So yeah, no, this game was an interesting game because of, you know, it went to overtime and
back and forth.
Yeah, so we shot 50%, they shot 43%. And again, it's like, and we'll see this in the next one we cover too. It's like, we always say, I don't get how these teams keep turning into, like,
just gods.
Golden State Warriors when they play us. Like, all these teams are shooting, like,
very well.
I mean, I guess that might be a
diamond on our defense.
Yeah, that might be an indication of our defense decline this year. But
no, this game, oh my God, what's his full name? Anthony Roberts. That guy, like,
he's good.
He made some shots at, like, were well covered. It was just like, he was better.
I mean, he had 30 off the bench.
Yeah, I know.
It's like he had a good portion of the team's points. And then you had Jenkins, who played for FDU back in the day. I think he took them to the tournament one year. Played against us last year for FDU. And I remembered him. I didn't know he transferred to Stony Brook until you know, the game. And he was giving me PTSD to last year. To the FDU game that we lost, because, you know, he's a pretty solid player as well. Towards the end of the game, he was kind of just throwing up shots that weren't really great, but most of the game, he played pretty
well.
The overtime
period, it was like, that might have been the worst set of, like, six shots in a row that a team could have taken.
They just started
hucking up, like, deep
threes.
Twos.
Yeah.
Not even, it was like, it would have been more, like, reasonable if it was threes. I think it was, like, a bunch of, it was, like, deep twos at times. It
a couple of the shots they had,
odd.
Like, were just, yeah, like you said, a couple of the shots they had were just odd for late stages, like a back-and-forth game.
Especially a team that was, like, scoring a lot, too. It's not like it was, like,
yeah. They were really exploiting us on defense, and I think that's kind of been a theme of the last two games, has been the defensive issues. mixed in with some offensive issues, but...
I mean, I guess you have to expect some... Like, I know Taj is a bigger guard, but you're starting three smaller-ish guards at once. Like, there's someone that's going to be exploited in terms of defensive matchups.
So, we also shot 36% from three. They shot 39%, 88% from the line. They only shot 70. We out-rebounded them by eight. We out-assisted them by three. We had eight turnovers. They had five. Again, keeping the turnovers low usually leads to success. And their largest lead was 11. Ours was six. So let me just look over at the box score real quick. Supreme Cook had 16. Jake had 24. Taj had 14. TJ Long had 11, including a big shot towards the end of the game in overtime. So here we saw Jake and Taj, our two, you know, for the most part, highest scorers, actually have a good game, and it worked out well. And we saw that against Sacred Heart, too, and it worked out well. Then against Loyola, they had really poor games, yeah. And then we, you know, lost to a team we should have beat. So, I don't know, what do you think, like, what do you make of, like, Jake's struggle to start the season?
It's, like, it's weird because it's not, like, a consistent struggle. It's, like, a on and off. It's, like, he'll have, like, a really good game. It's just consistency, which is, like, I guess, like, the next step for a guy like him who's, like, shows he has, like, the highs to, like, hit those, like, crazy stat lines that he had in the tournament last year. And now it's just about being able to put up something like that, like, every game and consistently scoring like that. Because, like, this is, like, the games he was having end of last year, like,
yeah,
nightly. So, yeah, like, if he can put that together for a month-long stretch, that's, like, a makings of, like, a top, like, five player in the MAC, if he can do that consistently.
Yeah, and it was important, you know, we were down 12 at one point in this game, and then, you know, him and TJ, I think it was him and TJ combined for, like, back-to-back-to-back-to-back three, whatever, and, like, pretty much tie the game up, right? You know, that, yeah, the stretch where we had three or four threes.
It was annoying, because they were hitting, like, we were cutting to the lead, but, and they were hitting twos on the other end at one point, like, it's like we were going with threes with twos with them, so we were cutting to the lead, but it was like, it could have been so much better if we were getting stops on the other end.
Yeah, and this is also the game that Alan Jean Rose came in,
played what?
4 points, but beyond that, he had three assists, three rebounds, he had that huge dunk,
yeah,
played really well in this game.
Off a little bit.
Yeah, and like, this is kind of one of those games we've been waiting for him to have for a couple seasons now, where he really comes in and makes a big impact. He's not just kind of floating. He actually comes in and really does something. So that was really nice. We'll get into the next game. You know, a little puzzling why he didn't get more time in the next game. But just overall, if he can perform like that,
that's,
you know,
all
on the MAC.
That's more than enough from him in terms of, like, stats-wise and, like, the 14 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the defense, like, the potential on defense. Like, he's a long guy that can guard multiple positions. But, like, being able to pass like that and, like, we haven't seen him drive to the hoop like that since in a while. Like, that, like, determined part. Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, adds a fire to the team, too. It's not just, like, him playing well.
Yeah, it's a huge momentum change.
It, like, pumps the whole team up, too, it seems like. Seems like he could be a catalyst to, like, inspire the whole team if he's playing like that. So, if that's the case, that would help us a lot, especially going into MAC play.
Just be a really helpful piece off the bench to spell, like, a Chrysler, like... He can play, like, multiple positions, so he could spell, like, Jake at one point, or he could take out Chrysler for moments. Like, he can help fill in at multiple positions backup-wise.
Yeah, so it was five threes in a row from us. I was looking back at our text to try to get a sense of what was going on. But you mentioned Chrysler. He's kind of had a down stretch for the past couple of games. And Jay Young in this game went with... more of like Cruz in his spot, and then, like you said, Allen too, to kind of, I guess, be a little more athletic and quicker on defense. That worked out a lot. Zach only played 10 minutes in this game, so it's nice to see that we have those guys to kind of take that role and go smaller. Cruz played really well in this game as well, you know, all over the place. You know, he had 4 points, two assists, three rebounds, steal. So just, again, that veteran leadership and 23 minutes off the bench. Again, it doesn't matter. He doesn't start. He's still getting big time minutes, and he's played really well this whole season so far.
Yeah,
so
I have no complaints.
One of the big things is his 3-point shooting.
It's reliable enough.
Yeah, it's like I'm almost at the point where I kind of expect it to go.
Yeah,
when he shoots it
to the point where like he's not just taking them just to take. Like he knows his zones. He knows where he.
Yeah, but he's even taking some long threes that like. I mean, last year, you'd probably be pissed if you saw that.
Well, he had, like, a few. I know in the tournament, he had a few where it's, like, it was, like, end of the shot clock.
Yeah.
And he, like, had to put up and just went in, but, like, maybe that's just his range. Maybe he can, maybe he likes the long ones.
Maybe. I don't know. He's been confidently taking long threes now, like, with, like you said, it's not the end of the shot clock. It's, like, now he's really just, he's doing it, and he's meaning to do it, and I think last year when we saw him take threes, we'd kind of just be upset
like
before it even goes.
Yeah.
Like before it even gets to the rim, we're kind of like giving up on the possession. But now we kind of like, I feel like I'm excited when he takes the three. His percentage
has gone up. I'm more
confident
in Cruz hitting a three than Caleb at this point.
Yeah, and we didn't mention Caleb for the Sacred Heart game. He had a crucial three towards that end of that game that kind of almost iced the game, I'd say. Either
definitely put us in like
his or Taj's.
Yeah.
They had crucial ones.
They both had ones in the corner.
I think Taj's was from the wing.
That was from the wing.
From like the top. Yeah, but either way.
Caleb's was from the corner, I know.
Caleb's was from the corner. It was a nice find to even find him open in the corner. That's a huge shot from him for someone that doesn't really score, especially from the three a lot. I think he might have had one against Stony Brook. Or against Loyola, but that he kind of had a good game for the most part in the Sacred Heart one. Didn't as much have a good game in this one. Was kind of getting beat easily, especially Jenkins. And
yeah,
you know, he only played 21 minutes as a result of that.
I
so
mean, it's glad to see, we're glad to see, like, we talked about it a couple weeks ago when it was like, Caleb, he's not being forced, to, or Jenkins not forcing 40 minutes of him down, or, like, They're not forcing to play 40 minutes anymore. Like, Jay Young's he's willing to move him out of the lineup for, like, end-of-game situations.
Yeah.
Which was not the case last year.
That's what I was going to lead into, is that last year we kind of saw him play, like you said, almost, you know, 38 minutes regardless of how kind of he was playing. We're finally starting to see, like, his minutes decline because of how he's playing, and it's nice to see that, like, everyone is, I guess, interchangeable.
And to be fair to Jay Young, like, last year he really didn't have the op. Like, without TJ last year, like, there wasn't really an option. But without TJ and Jalen hurt.
And once Jalen got hurt, yeah.
Like, there was no other backup option. Those were the three guards I had to play last year. So, like, it makes sense that he's able to do it this year and not last year.
And even to this point, a point guard has been our biggest struggle this season. And
you would think it would be easier with three guys that have played point guard before.
Yeah, but I don't know. The issue is, so Caleb's still not really performing. Jalen hasn't really done much with what he's been given. And that's been, like, the kind of one of the disappointing storylines of the season. Because, you know, he's getting minutes now. Not, like, a crazy amount of minutes, but he's getting minutes to kind of prove himself.
He gets, like,
And he's not doing a whole lot with it. I feel like...
I mean, he just doesn't, like... He's not as involved in the offense as, like, we'd hope. Like, last year, it seemed like when he came in, he was, like, a very focal point of the offense. But, I mean, when you're playing with, like, Wojcik and Taj and, like, Cruz on the same court at once, it's, like, it's hard to give Jalen his time to shine when you have all those other ball handlers and scores, but...
It's just tough because when he is out there, he's not really producing a whole lot, like... And he's not really showing much where you'd be like, okay, like we should give him more minutes.
I mean,
at
this point, he's basically just a spot-up shooter in the offense. Like, he rarely gets chances to, like, handle the ball and drive and do things that we know he's capable of doing, but on this roster, it's hard for him to get those chances.
You know, but if he did mold into that role, he could be, like, the starting point guard. You know what I mean? But right now, he's just not showing, you know, those qualities. Like, he's not really assisting. He's not, like, facilitating, really. He's just, like... He said he's just really like a shooter, but we already have Jake, you know, we already have TJ, who I kind of would even more so be.
TJ's just like, at this point, it's like TJ's just a better version of Jalen.
He's already passed him.
Yeah.
Well, he has more qualities,
yeah,
too.
He's been able to drive and finish the rim a lot more, rebound, a bit bigger, better rebounder. Like, it's tough when, like, I mean, it'll help when the lineup kind of clears out next year. A lot of guys graduating and leaving. I think Leach's role will be more defined, but at this point, it's hard to see him get, like, a ton of minutes with this lineup.
Yeah, so that's kind of been one of the storylines. And as far as this game goes, it's exciting to win in overtime, but we had some crucial mistakes towards the end of the game that, you know, we could have put this one away. We had a couple giveaways before overtime. A couple giveaways, a couple bad shots that led to them having a chance to beat us in regulation.
Yeah, I mean, Jay turned over at midcourt, I think, on it was one of the – they were up and they were just, like, running out the clock, I think. And Wojcik just kind of, like, lost his balance or something, got the ball taken from him. I mean, you can't let them just get an easy layup with 40 seconds left to tie the game when you have the ball.
We had a few chances to put it away. And, obviously, you don't want to be greedy because we were down 12 ourselves, but when you have the chance to put it away at the end of the game, you got to do it, especially against a team that you're favored against and you should beat. And, you know, not just Jake, there's a couple turnovers. Can't 100% remember who, but a couple turnovers, a couple bad shots. I think Taj might have missed a layup at some point in there, too. And, you know, he had a chance to put it away. A veteran guy, you would expect that he would. And just a few mistakes, and it led them to having a chance to win it. And I thought they were going to, honestly. At that point, I thought Roberts was going to...
I thought he was going to hit some ridiculous circus shot.
Find a way. Yeah. And credit to Allen. He actually had a nice help defense, I think, on that last regulation play to help us stay alive. And our last play on the regulation wasn't necessarily the best.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. We got the win, played strong in overtime. And to that point, it was a three-game win streak. We felt really good going into the third game.
Especially because we saw, like, I remember checking, like, the ESPN, like, preview before, and it was, like, gave us an 80% chance to win. Saw the line, it was, like, we were favored by, like, 8 points or something crazy like that. I was like, oh, it's going to be, like, kind of, like, easy.
7.5, I think we were favored by. I was feeling like, to be honest, I was feeling like we probably weren't going to cover. I was feeling like it was probably a trap game, like a trap game for us. But I didn't think we would lose. I just didn't think we would win by, like,
I mean, throughout the entire game,
8,
I really wasn't expecting, like, I mean, we started off, like, a little slow, like, and, like, nothing, like, too crazy. But, like, second half of the first, like, our last 10 minutes of the first half, we, like, kind of started getting our groove again. And, like, we just looked, like, a lot better than them. And then second half kind of happened, and we just, like, slowly let it slip away. It was weird because we were winning most of the second half, and then, like, we got to a point where, like, it just, like, fell apart. Like, we didn't score for the last, what? We scored 5 points.
I think
in
the last 6 minutes we had one basket or something.
Yeah. So, like, it kind of just, like, disappeared, the lead, like, without us even paying attention. If you didn't pay attention.
So the way the stats look, we actually wound up shooting 50% from the field, which is great, but I don't know how those shots were skewed because...
Well, because Supreme went 8 for 8, so, like, it... And TJ went 7 for 11, so it skewed, like, a 2 for 10 from Jake.
But also, I'm saying is, like, we weren't scoring 50% of the possessions, like, towards the end of the game. Like, it was definitely more skewed towards the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Big time, yeah.
Like, we were scoring on a lot of possessions in the beginning, and then the end we were scoring on, like, nothing,
I mean, they
obviously
had 41 points in the first half, and then ended up having 29 in the second. Like,
yeah, so 50% from the field. Again, they shot 55%. This is a team that they said wasn't a great three-point shooting team coming into it, I believe, and they wound up shooting 52% from three. Like, this is another one of those scenarios where these teams just shoot lights out against us. It happened in a few games this year, and it's like
the BC game.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of a reflection on our defense, but then there's also some contested shots that these guys are just hitting from, like, deep three or whatever, and you're just like, how? You even texted me the same Stony Brook game. It was like Roberts hit like a Dirk fadeaway.
Oh yeah,
like,
no, yeah.
This guy's off the bench. like, how? Like, what? It's not even always.
He was, like, deep in his bag. I'm like, this guy probably hasn't scored this many points in, like,
since high school.
Yeah, since, like, he was, like, the best player on his team in high school.
It's, like, somewhat on the defense, but it's somewhat not when they're actually defending well, and these guys are just hitting crazy shots on us. And again,
I think Loyola, it was more a product of the defense. I think, I mean, they didn't, like, they did have open shots at times, and the big men, I don't know how to pronounce their names, but, like, they were playing well in the paint towards the end of the game.
Yeah, and Spencer and Jones had all their points for the most part. But
like I was more worried about defense in this game than I was in, like, the Stony Brook game, because, like, that is, like, a one guy dropping 30 is, like, a very, like, outlier kind of game.
Yeah.
But this was, like, more of, like, a group effort.
Yeah, and so other than that, we out-rebounded them. They out-assisted us. We had 15 turnovers in this game, so, exactly. Pretty much doubling our Stony Brook amount and tripling our amount at Sacred Heart. So 15 turnovers usually doesn't fare us well. Both largest lead, 8. And, basically, one of the things I wanted to talk about, not just for the Loyola game, but a few of the games to start, I think it was Stony Brook and Loyola. I think we texted about this, is that the opening shot selection for this team sometimes in these games this year have been very poor.
They go down, like, I started the Providence game, like, they've gone down early in, like, almost every single game.
Because I don't know if people notice this, like, people listening out there, but their shot selection in the beginning of the game is very poor. Like, sometimes, or I feel like usually, teams have, like, a script that they follow to start the game.
Like a football team, like your,
like,
first
football
15.
Almost. Yeah, like, they have a few plays.
Like, yeah,
or at
a
least,
few set plays, like, you want to get so-and-so involved early.
Or at least you want to get your best players to,
like, run, like, a
shoot
run,
early.
Run some play to get Jacob for a three early on. Like, that's, like, most likely what they try to do most games, like, get Jake an open shot early, get Taj an open shot early.
Yeah.
Get Cook involved, like, down low early.
And that's usually, like, I feel like the plan for most teams, but, like, a lot of the times this year, it's been, like, I believe in the Loyola game specifically, but it happened in Stony Brook, I believe, in a couple other games. Like, Caleb had, like, 3 of the first, like, 5 shots. I think he hit one of his threes in the beginning, but he had, like, 3 of the first 5 or 6 possessions, and it's, like, with all due respect, he shouldn't be taking 3 out of the first 5 possessions. He shouldn't be taking the shot. It should be Jake or Taj or Cook, like you said. I think the first few possessions were, like, Caleb and Zach. And because of that, we go down 8 off the bat or whatever. And then, you know, we only lost by 5. So that really kills us. So that's been one of my things that I've noticed this year. That kind of gets on my nerves when I start to watch a game. Like, why aren't we opening with either Jake shooting the ball, Supreme down low, Taj maybe driving in or something? I just feel like the shot selections to begin the game have been poor, and I feel like you should have that plan going into the game to start. Once the game develops and,
then,
like,
you can,
things,
like,
change,
have matchups going. Like,
yeah, things change.
You can say, "Oh, Caleb, like, take advantage of this. Like, let's." Not specifically Caleb, but, like, in general, like, oh, they're dropping, like, in the corner to the block, like, Chris will be open in the corner, like, get him shots.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
Things change and you adapt, and that's, like, a part of coaching. But I feel like going into the beginning of the game, you have the tape, you've watched film and stuff, you should have either plays, or if you're not gonna have set plays, you should have ideas. Like, let's get Jake the ball early, he's struggling so far this year. Let's get, you know, Supreme the ball. He's been on fire this year. Let's get him the ball early, you know. So, I don't know. That's one of the things I've noticed. And, I don't know, it's kind of frustrating.
We got Jack Mullaly again in a couple minutes.
He got the half, right? Yeah, he got, like, I think Jae Young wanted him to foul because we had a foul to give. But I don't think they got the foul off in time or something. So, that was kind of what happened there. TJ Long, another great game from him. 25 minutes, 21 points. Excuse me,
he's
coughing over here.
Gotta be, like, if there are odds for Mac newcomer of the year, he's gotta be up there for top of the list right now.
Yeah. I tweeted yesterday, I think, or 2 days ago.
Just give it to him.
Yeah, just wrap up the rookie of the year. Just give it to him because I think first 2 weeks of the season he's been back-to-back rookie of the week.
What, he had eight in that game, but
21 in this game.
Stony Brook game, he had what? What did he have? I'm trying to get to the box score.
Whatever he had,
he had.
It doesn't even just matter what he had because his shots were very important, too.
Yeah. And he's clutch. Yeah,
clutch. They were clutch shots. It wasn't just like he had a soft 11. It was like
and he
clutch.
Had big game.
That clutch three at the end was like.
He also had big games
so
versus
important.
Like legit teams.
Yeah, and I think. I don't know how many Mac rookie of the weeks there's been. I know he has two already. I don't know if there's only been two.
Two or three.
It's been two or three.
Most two or three.
And he's already had two. I don't know all the other Mac rookies, but
he's been a double-digit scorer in, like, what, three of six games?
Yeah.
Four of six games?
He's one of our most important players already, you know, as a rookie in, like, five games, six games. So, yeah, I don't know the other Mac rookies. We'll get to learn them real soon as Mac play starts, but right now I think he's got to be up there in the running. So,
I mean, they don't like that. You know the disrespect they give the Fairfield players because, I mean, last year Taj really should have made an All-Mac team, and I hope they don't snub a Cook for what he's doing so far. I don't know how. I don't
he
think
won't
they,
be first team, obviously, because
no,
Junior Joseph.
The bigs are good, but, I mean, just a third team slush. I mean, I don't know if they base it off, like, non-conference stats as well as conference stats, but, I mean, 19-9 against Loyola Maryland, that's like a monster game. 16-9 against Stony Brook, like, He's a beast.
Even
he's been
like
a beast so far.
Even like a most improved kind of.
Yeah, I don't know if they have that. I don't know if they have that.
They probably do,
and
it probably wouldn't be him. But like, he's definitely got to get some recognition for it. I mean, and if he doesn't, we'll give him the recognition.
I mean, last
for
year he was battling for minutes. Like he wasn't even getting the most minutes as a big man on the team, and now he's consistently scoring, getting double doubles or close to double doubles every game.
Yeah, and last year we viewed Mido and Cook as like a unit,
team.
Right? And it was like they would average, I don't know, they would
average
get maybe
10 and 10 or 15
something like
and
10. That, yeah. But like now it's like Cook is pretty much,
Cook's
if you put
there.
Them together, Cook is pretty much bearing all of
no,
that.
At this
average.
Point, it's not even a unit anymore. Cook is the starting center, our go to big man in the post, and Mido is there to spell Cook. There's there to take, give Cook minutes off or help him in foul trouble. It's not like a. It's not like a ride in the hot hand anymore. It's like Cook is
our guy.
Best big man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of our best players at this point.
Yeah.
So
I argue he's probably our most important player. If you're going to take one player out of this lineup for like the rest of the year, who would be the most devastating? I think it has to be Cook at some point. It has to be Cook at this point.
Yeah, because he's always there when
he's like he's an automatic basket in the paint at times.
Yeah, and when our guys are when they don't have their shot. Like in this game, for example.
Yeah.
Right? TJ and Cook were the only ones that really kept us in this game. And, you know, Jake shot very poorly, 2 for 10. Taj shot very poorly, 2 for 7. Caleb, 2 for 7, right? You know, Cruz, 3 for 7. And then, you know, Cook, 8 for 8. You know,
I mean, 'cause
TJ, 7 for 11. So when those guys don't have their shot going, they don't have their stroke that day, Supreme will still always be there, and he'll still be able to put the ball in the net.
I mean,
you know?
Obviously, it's not as easy as that, but, I mean, like, when you're shooting layups and dunks, they're able to get layups and dunks that consistently, it's hard to shoot poorly from the field. Like, it's automatic points almost.
Yeah, exactly. It's like he doesn't really necessarily need to have, like, a stroke that day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the same mechanics or whatever and moves, but that's why he is so important because he can still pick up the pieces when our guys are when our, like, top shooters are struggling. But you can't do it all at some point, right? When your top scorers have 5, 4, 7.
I mean, especially when MAC play opens and you're playing against like the best big men in the MAC, which is like probably the deepest position. One of the deepest positions in the MAC is like the bigs,
and it's concerning because, like, I don't know if you viewed this in like I don't know if you viewed like PC or BC. It's like, all right, it is what it is. But Loyola is probably worse than like a good chunk of MAC teams, so like
yeah. So you hope he's.
This is a concerning loss in that matter.
Oh, as a team, I in terms of Cook, it's good to see that
he dominated.
Able to dominate like that.
Yeah, but in terms of just this loss,
yeah.
Like you can pass off the BC and PC losses.
Yeah,
you can.
Those are
expected. But in terms of this loss, it's like most teams in the MAC, I mean, Iona just beat Alabama. Monmouth just beat whoever.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati. Even Niagara, who we play this week, had like not they didn't almost beat, but I mean they lost by 3 to Xavier and they lost by 10 to Ohio State, who just beat Duke last night. Like they didn't get killed by these teams.
Those teams are getting like those teams are kind of on the upswing, and we hope that. Like, if Fairfield beat Loyola Maryland, we'd feel a lot more confident going into MAC play being 4-2.
On a four-game win streak.
On a four-game win streak, with our two losses being close games against two good, like, two legit teams. We'd be on, like, the upswing, but this loss kind of makes us, like,
nervous,
weary.
I guess.
Yeah, weary that, like, are we really as good as we, like, kind of thought going into this game?
Yeah, the big thing that we, like, I don't know, the big thing is just I feel like we play up to good teams and down to bad teams, yeah. Which is really...
I mean, it's frustrating.
A poor attribute for a team because, yeah, we can hang with PC and lose by 7, but we're, like, there's no way that, like, the team that played against Loyola, if they played against PC, they would have lost probably by 30 or 40
yeah.
again. You know, it's, like, not... It doesn't even look like the same team. And it's puzzling why, like, we'd play like that, like why we can't just have the same effort or the same style when we play all these different teams and blow Loyola out by 10, 12, 14 points. But that's kind of how Fairfield is. We kind of
close games.
They play close games. They play up to good teams, down to bad teams. And that's why they cover a lot because the spread's usually not that big. It's usually against us by a couple points. But I feel you can always count on us to be in it, but we should be blowing these teams out.
Yeah. Like, Stony Brook, like, that game should not have gone overtime. I guess you'd say, like, Stony Brook, like, they had just like, a crazy game offensively with Roberts, but, like, out of, like, that game didn't go to OT.
Honestly, we should have probably killed Stony Brook.
Yeah,
and
we started off so slow, we were down 10 points in the second half.
The devastating thing about it is we should have killed Stony Brook. We were down by 12 with a few minutes left.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
if we didn't hit 5 threes in a row, that would have been 2 back-to-back devastating losses to teams we should have beat. And we would have really felt bad going into this weekend.
Yeah, that our like 2 wins were over Medgar Evers and Sacred Heart, who we were 8-0 against. Like, but, like, I mean, I guess you can say at least we have expectations. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
guess
higher years, it's like
definitely higher than last year.
A win's a win, but now it's like we're grading like good wins versus bad wins. Like we can separate a win from like how well we played, where last year was like more like if we won a game,
we were just happy.
It was a win, and like playing wise, it was a win. Players wise,
yeah, I guess the high
bad they played.
The expectations are definitely higher this year, and you know it's partially because we're better. But it's also because I think everyone knows, like, what we're chasing. Like,
yeah, when you get to the MAC final, you're expecting to go back there.
Yeah.
With a better when you go to the MAC final with a worse team and become a better team.
And bring them all back.
And bring everyone back plus
TJ.
TJ and guys that were hurt last year. Like, you expect to be
back
but
also
in the same place.
Everyone knows what we're chasing. Like, Iona, we just watched them over Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Played 3 games against top teams in the country, and you know,
look better than them almost. Like, it definitely looked better than Alabama.
Yeah, and they hung in there with Belmont, and obviously they didn't really hang in with Kansas, but that's Kansas.
And also, it's like a third game in what 5 days they played,
and it's the number like 4 team in the country. So
it's like, yeah, so it's like you have to hold yourself to a higher standard because just winning, just scraping by, you're gonna be in for a rude awakening when you play on, or if you're just scraping by every week. Like,
yeah,
you have to be winning and winning convincingly to be ready for a team like that.
Everyone's going to be chasing them, too, going into the league play and going into the, you know, postseason and stuff. And it's not going to be easy. They're a very good team. Like, I know we hate on Patino, so we like to, like, kind of overplay them sometimes. Like, oh, like, are people just hyping Patino up or whatever? But,
I mean,
like, watching them this week, like, they're definitely
They got AP poll votes this week.
Yeah,
they, like,
I'm
not surprised either. But to think about that, like, that they'll be like, they could very easily be like number, like, have the number next to their name when we play them at some point this year.
Yeah, even if it's like 25,
like, that's absurd to think about. And it's like it also will, like, put you on high notes. Like, this is like one of the 25 best teams in the country.
I think if they beat Belmont, they probably would have.
They would have definitely, yeah.
But I don't know. It's going to be tough, but I think that's another reason why, going back to our point, why we have to hold ourselves to a higher standard, knowing what's ahead compared to, you know, last year or whatever. We did all that last year. We got so far. We still lost to that team. Well, now they're even better, so we got to be even better than
we were last year. Even at our best, when we were beating Monmouth by 20 points, like how well we were playing.
So, you know, overall, it was a very positive week up until the Loyola game on Sunday. Before that, I think last week we would have had like a sick show after the Stony Brook game.
We would have been pumped.
yeah, we would have been so pumped. But yeah, this loss, like, I think the loss kind of brings us back down to earth.
Which is, honestly, it might be a good sobering loss coming in the MAC play.
That could be the only positive to take from a loss like this, is hopefully Jay Young
kind of snaps
him
back into place. Like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, like, to be, like, as much as we hate losing and, like, hate seeing our record be 3, the game really doesn't matter.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
It doesn't matter. As long as, like, they can use that as, like, some type of learning experience and figure out what to change, it could end up being a positive in the long run.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you're not getting an auto bid or anything, so. Or you're not getting the at-large bid, so. Games like these don't matter for us. It's really just like a fans thing and like a, like you said, like a kind of experience thing. If this can like put them back in their place, bring them down to earth, and it's like, hey guys, you had some nice wins, you know, you beat your rival, you're riding high off that, but you know, you're still beatable, and you're still beatable by teams that
aren't as good
BC
as you.
And Providence, you know. So hopefully that can help them, and hopefully they got really whipped into shape this week by Jay Young and like, I don't know, hopefully they had some hard practices
seriously.
Because of this game, honestly. And you know, now we look ahead. We're going
are we going to Canisius
and to Niagara this weekend, Friday, Sunday. So we got Friday, Canisius.
Oh, we got the afternoon games. That's women's.
No, 7.
Yeah, I was looking at women's games. My bad.
Friday at 7 on ESPN3. Just so you know, I mean, ESPN's giving Canisius a 72% chance to win this one.
Wait, 12-3 is Friday or Thursday? Wait.
It's Friday.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
I might not be able to watch.
Really? You got something?
I have a formal I have to go to.
I'll do the heavy
depends
lifting.
Depends on when you have. You might have to come to me to watch.
What's your house?
Yeah, because I can't make the trip all the way down there and come all the way back.
Oh, yeah, no, I could come up. Yeah, yeah. If you're going to still be around at 7, catch the first half or something. Yeah, no, I'll be there. We got a 72% chance to lose this one, apparently.
Hey, but we also had a 72% chance to beat Loyola Maryland.
That is true.
And
the ESPN matchup predictor is stupid anyway. Yeah. It's not really.
Trust me, I've tried responsibly gambling using that specifically, and it has not worked.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good measurement, really.
It was so weird. I remember I saw something. It was like Iowa football and Nebraska football, like Iowa Nebraska football.
Uh-huh.
The match predictor had Nebraska with a higher percent chance to beat them, and Iowa was like the number 10 school in the country, and Nebraska was like 3-9.
Yeah, so.
And they ended up losing.
We can't take that one too seriously. But they obviously, Malik Green's their pretty much like their team leader, very solid player returning. And
he's played well against us before.
Yeah. And looking at Canisius in general, they are 2-5 on the season. They played Miami. They lost by 10, which, you know, obviously not a huge surprise. Lost to East Carolina. They lost to St. Bonaventure by 9,
which
who's
is,
a ranked team.
Bonnie's have been good, too.
It's not a bad loss. Cleveland State, that's another, like, decent.
Yeah, they've been the tournament.
Yeah, lost by 10. So they honestly, credit to them, they kind of put together a decent out-of-conference schedule.
Yeah, I mean, those first four games are, like, legit.
Yeah, so, and then they beat Fredonia, which I'm not sure if that's a D1.
Like a Medgar Evers.
Yeah, I think that's one of those D3s, and then they beat Coppin State, who I'm also not sure is D1.
I haven't really heard of them. They're 1-9.
They beat them by 1 point.
They lost
to Cornell.
Oh, they lost to Ryder by 12. So they played a couple. So if you put in perspective,
Fredonia.
Oh no,
Coppin
State beat Loyola Maryland by 22.
Well, that's just like the parody of
yeah,
like,
I mean, college basketball. You look at Duke. Duke just beat Gonzaga by whatever and then lost Ohio State the next night. So it's like...
Even Dayton, they lost to like who? Like Lipscomb, right?
Yeah,
right?
And then they beat...
Loyola Maryland, I think, yeah. played Lipscomb too. And then, yeah, and then they beat...
Kansas.
Kansas. So, yeah. That's... It's interesting even for Canisius because they have, like, close games against really good teams, and then they only beat Coppin State by one.
Lost to Cornell by 14.
Lost to Cornell by 14.
Which, I mean, I'm not the biggest Ivy League follower, but Ivy League kind of, goes back and forth. Like
yeah, I know. There's a couple of kids from my high school that play for Cornell, but, like...
They seem pretty good so far, 6-1.
Yeah, I don't think they're necessarily, like, a great, like, in the larger... picture,
yeah.
though. I don't think they're a great team.
But we're looking at, like, small, like, the micro, like, the small scale that, like,
yeah.
they're solid for a MAC.
No, that's
opponent.
Not, like, an embarrassing loss or anything. But then they got us Friday, opening up MAC play. And they got Monmouth on Sunday, too. So it's
they also got, it's interesting, they got, like, is Fairfield, like, another out-of-conference?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, because they have some, they must go somewhere, because they're playing, like, Far Gulf Coast and a couple...
Yeah, we got.
Oh yeah, they go to William and Mary, Fairleigh Dickinson, and UMass. I see.
Holy Cross, Wagner. So, yeah, they got another run on the out of conference, but these two games are to start the.
Would be really nice to see 2-0 to start conference play before
yeah.
the out of conference.
I think like you have to grab one of.
I would gladly be 1-1, but like being 2-0 heading into an out of conference schedule, it would be like. Quite the confidence boost going to like a big game against like William Mary and like teams like that.
Because
FDU.
These are the teams, right? Like these are the teams that
they should be taking. A
they have like, I wouldn't necessarily say like Canisius and Niagara are the teams that like they should be like beating like easily or whatever. These are the teams that they have like around us in our tier.
Yeah.
You know, they have, like, the Iona, and they have, like, the Monmouth, St. Peter's, whatever, and then, like, that
those,
Tier 3
yeah.
where everyone's, like...
They should be winning a majority of those Tier 3 games if they want to compete.
It's important to take those...
Yeah, because
yeah.
you have to imagine those Monmouth, Iona, St. Peter's, and, I blank on the other team.
What, like a Rider
so
or, like,
Siena?
Siena.
Iona, Monmouth, Siena.
I think Siena's having a down year, though. From what I've
whatever
seen,
that,
on Twitter,
whatever that tier one was, I'm blanking on the
yeah. Just
team.
In general, those three though.
Those three, yeah, those three are the big ones. Whatever, but those three, like, you have to imagine you're losing
majority,
75% of them.
Yeah.
At
you maybe pick like catch like one or two
yeah.
of those. Yeah. So
like, if you really want to compete and have like a high seed going to the MAC tournament,
you got
to
beat
care
those tier
of business
threes.
Against like the Marists, Manhattans, Niagara's, Canisius's.
And I feel like the Manhattan. Manhattan, Marist, those are like the teams that
those
you
are
probably.
Those are actually teams we should be. Even Quinnipiac,
yeah.
like those are the teams we should be beating. But Canisius and Niagara, that level is like even Ryder, or like the level it's like the next level is like, do you really want to be like a top five team in the
yeah,
MAC?
Or a nine.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I look at. And these are both away games. So if you can grab one of the two like away, that'll be a pretty big. Deal too. I don't think these teams have like great away crowds, but you know, it's always tougher to play on the road than it is at
and
home.
We've also struggled in Niagara most a lot.
We lost twice last
yeah.
year. So, you know, looking at that game, again, ESPN predictor 76% to Niagara. Some of the teams they've played, they're 3-3 on the year. They
we mentioned their losses to
yeah, so Xavier and Ohio State, not really huge losses. They lost by 3-10. We said Ohio State beat Duke last night. And then SIUE, not sure what that is, to be honest. They beat them by 10. Oh, serious, I don't know.
No, I think I think I've seen SIU Edwardsville.
That's what it is?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that must be like a South school. Indiana, maybe?
Yeah, I have no idea. They beat them by 10. University of St. Thomas lost by 9. That's one of those, like, I don't know.
Like, yeah.
That might be one of their, like, that might be their Loyola loss.
Mm-hmm.
Youngstown State, they beat them by only 5. Again, it's not a huge margin. And they beat Colgate by, like, 11.
It seems like Liddell, or not Liddell, I'm thinking of, like,
Hammond?
Ohio State. Yeah, Hammond's having, like, a very good start.
Well, we know.
Headlines.
Yeah, we know that, that Hammond, I mean, we've seen him for a few years now. and we know he's a solid
it's
player.
It's good to see he still got it, or not so good for us, but...
It's horrible. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible to see.
yeah, Hammond is obviously going to be their top guy. He's like leads them in pretty much most categories. And they still have Justin Roberts. They still have Justin Roberts, too, who's a senior. He was pretty important against us last year as well, their guard.
Yeah, that guard duo killed us.
Yeah. So they got pretty much similar some similar players from last year, especially the ones that were really leading him.
It's interesting to see, like, I mean, we joke, our friends joke with us about how poor our favorite offense is, how, like, they're not. But, I mean, like, this year, like, I mean, they're only averaging 66, Niagara only averaging 66 points, and, like, with a guy like Hammond, you would think it would be higher, but, I mean, I think Fairfield averages more than that.
Yeah, and Hammond's averaging 20 of that, so it's like a third of the scoring almost, a little less. So, you know, you're right, like, our offense has been pretty solid this year, and now the defense has kind of been, like, an issue, and it's weird to, like, flip the script because for not even just Jay Young, but, like, since we've been here, it's been, like, defense.
They're averaging 70. I mean, it's skewed by the Megar Evers game. I would love to – I might do the math to see what it is without Megar Evers, but 78.5 points. So, like, if you take out, like, 100 and divide it by 5, but, like, that's still around, what, 70 points a game at least?
Yeah, so – definitely a lot better than last year. I mean, 70 was like, we didn't always even score 70.
It's just interesting to see, like, teams that we look up as, like, the status quo of, like, offense in the MAC are doing worse than us offensively.
Yeah, so that's what we got to look forward to this weekend, Friday, Sunday. Like we said, Friday is 7 p.m. Sunday, I believe, is 1 p.m.
Yeah, 1 p.m.
Yeah, so Sunday is 1 p.m. And then, yeah, we got, I think next Wednesday is back to at a conference, I think Holy Cross. And I believe that's home. I think that's our next home game next Wednesday night, but we'll have a show before then recapping the opening to the MAC weekend for us. So anything to add? Anything looking ahead?
No.
We're good? All right. So that's our episode today. Thanks for listening. It's good to be back. And, you know, through all the ups and downs, we'll still always be here on WVUF 88.5 FM talking about Fairfield basketball. Follow us on Twitter at Red Sea Radio for day-to-day stuff about Fairfield sports. And thanks, everyone, for listening again. We'll be back next Wednesday, same time, 2 p.m. live on WVUF 88.5 FM and always on your streaming services. It's been Kyle and Jack, Red Sea Radio. We'll see you next week. And going into MAC play, as always, go Stags.